This is a reading from the book of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
So I have a clergy colleague who was recounting how chaotic it was on Facebook about their Christmas pageant and how chaotic it was at her church this year. Well, we have our hands full with four new babies in our congregation this year. Her congregation has three sets of twins, all in the first grade. So as you can imagine, my colleague was really worried about the Christmas pageant, about what kind of chaos these three sets of twins would create. So she decided to just cast them all together as the wise men, those magi following the star, to bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. So she thought keeping their hands full would keep them busy enough to follow directions, to just follow that giant glowing star in front of them, that would be straightforward enough. So on that night, this gang of twins showed up wrapped in their bathrobes and carrying those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And how this was supposed to go via the script and the rehearsals they had done was the lights would dim and that holy family would be illuminated up front and the star above them would just get turned on and those wise men would make their way to their mark right in front of baby Jesus in the manger. So yes, all this happened as planned. The lights get dimmed, the holy family gets the spotlight on them, the star gets turned on. But then my friend says that as she's standing right about where I am right now, she looks down and sees the Wilson twins, who are making their way down, reach into their pocket and pull out a glow stick, which is attached to necklaces that they have been given. And then Margaret Wilson begins swinging her glow stick around like a slingshot with such force that the cap opens up, and what you can imagine is all that glowing liquid goes everywhere. Parents' worst nightmare, right? That was like what my parents told me not to do when I had a glow stick, right? Was to swing it around. It goes all over the three-year-old Sunday class in the front who are all cast as sheep, all over that holy family. My pastor friend is just standing there like this at the front. And little Margaret Wilson walks up to her and says, "That journey was pretty dark, Pastor. Would you like my glow stick?" I love that story. Now, I can't imagine that this is anything close to the journey that the Magi took to visit Jesus. In fact, most of our ways of retelling this story, no matter how traditional they are actually more for the narrative arc of the story rather than the historic accuracy. Most of the time, we tell this story with the Magi arriving shortly after the shepherds, but in actuality, they probably arrived much later, maybe even years later, when Jesus was more like an honorary first grader rather than a sweet infant. The hymns we sing about them call them the three kings, but in fact, the Magi were more like sages or magicians, astrologers reading the meaning of life in the stars rather than ruling a kingdom. And even though there were three wise men depicted, in reality, that's just to match Magi up with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there could have been anywhere between a handful to a large caravan of Magi following the stars to Bethlehem. While it's clearly a challenge to decipher truth from fiction in this story, what I can imagine to be true is what that six-year-old Margaret Wilson said to my friend. That journey was really dark. And on this Epiphany Sunday, maybe that's what we can claim to be the most true about this story and ours too. That the journey can feel pretty dark at times. That we don't always know where we are going and what we are being led by. And so even though this season of the church called Epiphany is symbolized by this bright star guiding the way, actually we begin Epiphany this morning very much in the dark.
Yes.
Not simply because of the arc that this story takes, but because of the context by which we retell the story in our own times as well. This story and our own may feel especially dark as we take in the news about the U.S.-led bombings against Iranian forces. A people and a culture the wise men may have actually come from. A bombing that happened in Iraq, the region that these Magi probably journeyed through to find God's love made real. So yes, maybe more than any other year, we feel especially lost, especially unsure of what direction we are going, especially scared by the darkness that is closing in as we read this story and our own. And yet also on a more personal level, as we encounter the star of a new year, we are also a people searching and seeking, pursuing meaning in our own lives, with resolutions and reflecting on both the year behind and ahead of us. We want to know what direction our own lives should take in this new year. We want to make decisions to give our life purpose. We want to know where we are going and why. And it's in our story of the Magi this morning that we are not the only ones on this journey. In fact, there are more than just three wise men looking for meaning, searching for purpose, following what guides them the best that they can. Herod is also searching for meaning and purpose, following what he believes to be true. He is searching for control and power. He was infamous for his brutality, for being suspicious and insecure. Sound familiar? He killed members of his own family when he became paranoid that they would overtake him. And just after our own passage this morning, he kills hundreds of Jewish babies all over Galilee in order to wipe out any chance of him being overthrown. And also in this story, the chief priests and scribes are searching for meaning as well in their own lives through knowledge and expertise and book smarts. A meaningful life to them was determined by how others saw them and called upon them, like being seen as the smartest person in the room or the ones with the best advice or the source of certainty about everything. And then there are these wise ones, these sages whose life journey takes a much different direction. While the meaning of their trip is at first at Herod's bidding and espionage mission to identify the Christ child, once they come face to face with the presence of God, the scripture says they take their journey by another road. Their journey becomes defined not by that which they can control or have power over, not by how they are viewed or how they match the expectation of others, but by what is happening inward in their spirits. The scripture says that once they had stopped and found what they had been searching for, they were overwhelmed with joy, a joy that comes from the deepest parts of their spirits. This very long, often times dark and tiring journey was, yes, a physical one, but maybe even more harrowing was the journey they took within themselves. Parker Palmer, author of the book Letting Your Life Speak, the book our sermon series is based off of, says that most of us only arrive at a sense of self and vocation after a long journey through unfamiliar lands. And sometimes the most unfamiliar land is within our own selves. We may know, like Herod, that those external things we want for ourselves. We may know, like the scribes, how we want others to think of us. But the darkest and most unknown terrain is our deepest authentic selves and the direction our spirits long to go. Parker Palmer defines this direction of our spirits as vocation. And while vocation is so often attached to someone's profession, what one does with their life, or what we ask children when we ask them what they want to be when they grow up, vocation is actually the more elemental and demanding question of who am I and what is my nature? Vocation is not a goal to be achieved, a role to play, or a set of expectations that we are to grow into. But Parker says that vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I am not. It comes from a voice in here, calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God. Our Christian scriptures call that the image of God in which we are all created. Mystic Thomas Merton calls that the true self. The Quakers call it the inner light, or that of God in every person. Humanists call it one's identity and inner integrity. Vocation is not just for the wise, for the powerful, not even just for the religious, but it is the journey each one of us takes to grow into our own authentic selfhood, whether or not it conforms to some image of who we ought to be. As we do so, we will not only find that joy that every human being seeks, we will also find our path of authentic service to the world. We, like those magi, will be called in a new direction. We will find that just as we are called on our journey inward to find our authentic selves, that this place within is not the final destination. We will find that our journey will eventually wind around to lead us outward from ourselves. To, yes, ask the question not only, who am I, but to also ask the equally important question of, whose am I? Who do I belong to? Our deep listening within will call us to share what we find with others along the journey, and what better of a week for us to be asking those questions of ourselves, individually and communally. A few years ago at a church I was serving at, they had this tradition on Epiphany Sunday of inviting each person to come forward and take a paper star from the communion table. Each star had one verb or adjective written on them, and you were invited then to claim this word as something to spiritually focus on in the new year, kind of like a spiritual New Year's resolution, if you will. Some people would tape their word maybe to their bathroom mirror next to their computer mouse at work. Some folks would even take a picture of it and put it on their phone's little screensaver. And to tell you the truth, some of those pieces of paper with stars on them just simply ended up in the recycling bin along with bulletins after worship. But for a man named Peter in my congregation, his word, which was grow, allowed him in a direction that he never imagined before. When Peter picked up his star word, he was a newly retired lawyer. And while he was glad to be out of that grind of law, he also felt really lost as to who he was when he was no longer in the courtroom. He thought retirement would bring him rest, a sense of accomplishment, and that his long-standing career would have been what would continue to define him. But after he retired, he had no idea who he was anymore. He felt restless as the quiet days sunk in. He felt that his accomplishments were just simply clutter on a shelf. So when Peter looked at his star word, he was confused. Grow didn't quite make sense to him. How was he to grow with his career and, you know, two-thirds of his life had gone through, and now wasn't he just simply supposed to rest? What would grow come to mean for him? But then as he continued to see that star every morning on his mirror, he remembered that the last time he heard that inner voice that Parker Palmer speaks of, he was 7 years old, when his grandmother taught him how to plant vegetables in her garden. That was when he felt the most alive, the most filled with purpose, and the most connected to God and his inward self. And it was completely opposite to everything he had been taught to do. It was in a completely new direction than where his life had been growing up until this point. But what was stopping him from changing course? So what started out as this very individual spiritual practice of focusing on growing inwardly, spiritually, became a realization that God was literally calling him to grow a literal garden. So he began volunteering his time at a local youth anti-violence program that uses gardening to grow peace within the neighborhood. He grew his sense of community, his understanding of accomplishments. He grew his friendships with these youth and in his spirit. Friends, this morning, as you come forward for communion, you will also be invited to take your own star word. I can't promise you're going to have a transformation like Peter did in your year to come, but I do encourage you to focus maybe your spiritual energy, your spiritual life, your inner self in a way that might be different than you have in any year before. When you come up here, there won't be any star police to kind of, you know, make sure you're not picking and choosing a word. But I'd like to just simply encourage you to take a word, whether it makes sense to you at this point in your life or not. Receive it as a gift. Rather than trying to select a word that you particularly like or think you need, just simply take one. You don't have to figure out its meaning right away. Simply let it rest with you. Place it somewhere that you'll see often. Use it as a way to direct your spirit as this new year begins, to guide your journey towards your true, authentic self. The Magi also remind us that we are never alone on this journey of self, that while this journey can feel oh so lonely, it's easy to become lost, and that we can feel especially unsure of the direction we are living out our lives in, that the way will be illuminated, that the journey, while harrowing, will also include deep joy. We will be called into new directions we never thought possible. And we will see that the star will always guide us to God. The joy for the Magi, the joy for us, is found when we become those signs of hope, those guiding posts, when we become the light along the journey for others. Amen.